Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to Moncrief, Fionnuala Jones filling in for Sean today. We are back with four questions where we look back on the weekend that was and look toward the week ahead. The four questions are: what delighted you? What annoyed you? What have you learned? And what are you looking forward to? And Maya Dunphy and Donal O'Donoghue are here to answer them again. Hello, guys.
Hello. How
Afternoon.
Are you, Fionnuala?
Maya, what delighted you this week? I believe you had a celebration, perhaps?
No, a mini celebration.
A micro celebration, perhaps?
Let's not go there. It was my birthday on Friday, actually.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I'm actually a year older than Wikipedia implies. So there we go, giving that one away. But every year on my birthday, a few of my old friends remember and they'll go, "When's your party?" And I have never had a birthday party.
Never?
No, well, when I was a child, I did.
Okay.
And then I had a joint,
well, I was going to say, yeah.
I had a joint 21st with my best friend.
Okay.
And then after that, nada. Nothing.
I literally couldn't think of anything worse. All I ever want is a party in my honour, parades.
Really?
I just... But you've come to accept now that it's fine to...
But that's the big thing, because for the last number of years, especially when you hit the roundy birthdays. And now when I hit my 40th, I had just had Tom. And it was like 3 weeks to the day post C-section. So the last thing I wanted, I just wanted to get out, have some food, have some alcohol and get home to bed. And I managed to do that. But as the years keep going, I go, it's actually okay. Because every year I feel I have to explain why I don't want to party. And there's lots and lots of reasons. But in a way, I've finally gone, I've accepted it now. I think most people are afraid that I just haven't invited them to a party.
Okay. So again, you're going on public record to say that that is not the
yeah,
case. You've
not,
just never had one.
That is not the case.
So what is the main reason that you don't have a party? Because I had my 50th last year, if we're dropping numbers, and it was one of the best days of my life.
Don't
I loved
look
it.
A day over 72. I don't like being the centre of attention.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Again, can't relate, but fair.
I know. I've put together a few great parties for other people. Surprise, like a surprise party would be my idea of hell. And I think also, actually saying to Kira Kelly outside there, that I went to 5 different schools. I wasn't kicked out of any. I just like that noted for the minutes of the meeting. But I don't have one big gang of friends. I have a couple of friends from here. I have one friend from here, one friend from here. Now, you know, if you go to a wedding or party, people are there from different parts of people's lives. And everyone, most people are nice. They all get on. But I've just never liked the idea of trying to, of feeling responsible for everyone having a good time.
Yeah.
And I've accepted it now. It's fine.
And okay. That's what I loved about mine, is that seeing the people, the old school friend, the old work colleague and all those people getting together and getting on was great.
Yeah.
Maybe, so I say do
maybe,
it next
maybe
year.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
No, I won't. This is the point. I've accepted it, Donal.
And now we're trying to undo that acceptance. Donal, what delighted you this weekend?
Well, we also celebrated a birthday because we were away on a little trip to Spain and our eldest turned 18. So that was pretty good. So we celebrated that. But what delighted me is we had this weird moment. So we were in Spain and we ended up bumping into Roddy Collins. And listeners that are into football might recognise the name. He's one of the great storytellers of Irish football. He's a professional football player, manager, pundit and author. And but he's a great storyteller. So we're sitting in this random little place in Camberwells and I kind of said, "Is that Roddy Collins?" So I went over and sat down. We had a great old chat. And actually, we agreed to record a podcast together, which we're going to do next week. But it just kind of reminded me of how, you know, you can travel thousands of kilometres from home and then just bump into somebody that you don't really know, but you just have that Irish connection. And it was really nice.
We had a very similar interaction on our honeymoon earlier this year in Japan, where Ooh. We met two Irish doctors who were now living in Australia, but were in Japan visiting. And it was just great. I know it's so cliche and we were in an Irish bar, but I will say it was Patrick's Day, so I think that's allowed. But just, you know, of all the gin joints in all the world, you know, kind of
it's
like warm cockles.
And then the
but you won't hear from him again. He gave you the wrong number.
He's
not doing your podcast.
Definitely not. He's in my DMs. But you know what was lovely? Because he was telling me a little bit about the book. And so I ended up downloading or listening
What's
to
it called again?
It's called The Rodfather.
Yes.
Incredible name.
It's a great name.
See what he did there?
And he did the audiobook himself. So, and he's a great storyteller. So I ended up then going down this rabbit hole of listening to The Rodfather. And that was, he was my companion. For much of the holidays. So yeah, looking forward to it.
There you go. Love that. Maya, what annoyed you this
What
weekend?
Annoyed me? Now, I would think at this stage, every single person, be they a dog owner or not, or an animal lover or not, would know do not leave dogs in cars without having a window open. Mm. Preferably don't leave them in cars at all. But if you have to, leave the windows open a couple of inches. Your car is going to be safe. So I got into a rather heated discussion with, I won't identify them, with some people who had left a couple of dogs in their car on a very hot day, all the windows closed. And they said, we were only gone 2 minutes, which wasn't true. But even if you are only going for, or you think you're going for 2 minutes, you don't know what might happen. Please don't leave. Obviously, don't leave children in cars anytime. But please don't leave dogs in cars without opening a window. The heat wave is going to hit again this week. And I just can't believe we still have to tell people that. But so that annoyed me a lot.
What was their position when you kind of flagged this with them and said, we probably shouldn't be doing this ever. Why are you doing this? Like, what was their defence?
Well, I understand if a stranger, well, what happened was it was in a supermarket and a lady outside about same age as me was very stressed and she was quite, she said, look, I've been here for 5 or 6 minutes. The dogs are getting stressed. I know they're in that supermarket. I went in. The staff were walking around looking for people. There was no PA system. So I stood at the tills at the top and I said, did anyone leave dogs outside in a car? And everyone looked at this looper. I don't mind. I will be the looper. And these people at the tills turned around and said, oh yeah, that's our car. And so I went over then quietly and said, look, you need to get back out and just crack a window before somebody breaks it. Because a man outside said, I'm going to break it if someone doesn't come back in 5 minutes, and then I'm going to walk away and it won't be my problem. And they said, we were only in here for 2 minutes, but they had a huge amount of shopping. She'd been outside for 6 or 7 minutes already. So it was up to probably 10 minutes. So I said, it's awful to be stopped like that by a stranger. I know it's embarrassing, but just say, yeah, yeah, mea culpa. But just say, yeah, yeah, okay. And get the weird lady away and just say, yes, thank you. But they were very defensive and said, it's none of your business. Stay out of it. We've had a very stressful day. And I could see they were stressed. I said, yeah, that's okay. I said, can someone go out now and just crack a window? And but they wouldn't back down.
I did see a thing before where someone said that in that situation, one of the things you can do is take a screenshot from your phone of the temperature, which is time stamped on the day, if somebody is considering cracking or breaking a window to save a dog's distress. But I can't imagine that could go very well for you if you're getting to that
window,
stage.
It's not ideal to break a window.
There comes
a point where, look, I haven't broken one myself, but a friend of mine's broken a window and the dogs were in deep distress. They'd been in there for nearly an hour. So and the guards did come. I won't. But anyway, the outcome was not hugely positive, but she wasn't prosecuted for it or anything. It's a very complicated one. Obviously, we don't want people breaking windows. If you can find the people and talk to them calmly and just remind them, it might have just been an oversight.
But it is hard then when you're met with defensiveness. And again, you're talking about the example of like showing the temperature. Sometimes, I don't want to say sometimes that owners don't care, even though, again, I'm sure there is a really, really small minority where unfortunately they don't and they're not responsible pet owners or whatever else. But I think some people don't react well to the shame of it. And again, their justification was, it was 2 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe it was benefit of the doubt, but so much can happen in 2 minutes. And especially at high temperatures.
I could see they actually were responsible owners. They had a stressful long day. I could see that. And I tried to stay calm. But just say, yeah, yeah, thank you. Then you can give out around my back in 5 minutes' time and say, who was that looper?
Yeah.
But just kind of go, yeah, sorry.
The other dog one from Spain was, I noticed a few people who are obviously locals bringing their dogs to the beach in Spain and having them kind of tied up, and like so much so that we went over with a little bowl of water because the dog's actually in 30 something degrees heat lying there panting. Like, just people that are supposed to be dog lovers,
yeah,
a bit more thought.
Yeah. Spanish have a sketchy record on that. I'm half Spanish, I'm allowed to slag them off.
Donal, what annoyed you this past weekend?
What annoyed me was a body shop. We're talking cars here.
Okay.
So what happened was our eldest Lauren has a little car that she's bought herself, and it was damaged outside the house one day where somebody drove by, tipped the car, didn't leave a note, didn't knock in or anything like that. So Lauren's in a situation where she's got to pay for the repair to the car herself. Obviously, she's not going to go through her insurance. So we brought it into a very reputable body shop. And the first question they asked is, are you paying for this yourself or is this an insurance job? And I thought, oh, well, you know, we're going to be paying for it ourselves. So they said, OK, look, they took the photographs and they said, we'll send you a quote. Now, get this. They sent me a double quote. They basically said, if you're paying for this yourself, the quote is $1,173. And this is to fix a back panel on a 11-year-old car. But if it's going through the insurance, it's going to be $1,982.
What?
So €809 more, almost 70% more if it's going through the insurance. And it just made me think, is this why our insurance premiums are expensive? If we're in a situation where a very reputable body shops are saying, look, if you pay for it directly, it's this. If you go through your insurance, it's 70% more. Now, maybe they've got more admin to do. Maybe they have to wait 30 days to get paid from the insurance company. But it just kind of made me feel, is this part of the problem?
I had a very similar issue myself as well, where I also had a little ding in my car, and the advice was just pay for it yourself, which is crazy. Like,
did you crash into his daughter's car?
I can neither confirm nor deny, unfortunately. So sorry about that. Sorry to Donald and your daughter. Yeah, it's just it's a nuts kind of process. Like, it should be there for protection, obviously, and it's just kind of how can anyone such a huge jump in terms of figures. Yeah.
And why should it make a difference whether it's been paid for by the car owner or the insurance company? Like, it's the same car, the same damage, the same work that needs to be done. So, yeah, I'd love to hear.
All of this stuff needs to be questioned when it comes to insurance companies and premium, because it's kind of off the scale, isn't it?
Yeah, and the other thing is you would kind of expect it a little bit more if somebody was saying to you, look, it's that much through the books and it's that much if it's cash, because you do hear that around the place. Yeah. But they put it in writing. They emailed to say, look, it's either this much direct or this much if you're going through your insurance company. I thought, oh, that's a bit silly.
I doubt you're the only one annoyed by insurance over the weekend, because I just think it's a bugbear of many, many a person. Maya, you learned this weekend, poultry's back, apparently.
Poultry's
Who
back.
Knew? Where have we all been?
Maybe it never went anywhere for some people, but, and I think maybe it's because The Odyssey is in cinemas, and obviously The Odyssey was originally a poem, albeit an epic poem. And I've just noticed, even on social media, I don't know if you've seen that guy Lucas Jones, an English guy who does this beautiful poetry. Our very own Jan Brereton. Do you know Jan Brereton?
Yes.
Yeah, she would have been on 6 o'clock show a few times probably. She is just amazing. And it feels like, and I don't know whether it's a sign of the times, because life has become more difficult, and maybe we are going back to forms like poetry to kind of communicate. But I think it's very interesting. A lot of people don't actually know The Odyssey was a poem. They think it was a book because it was so bloody long.
I just learned that.
So did I.
Oh.
Do you know what I find happens is the poetry that's embedded in your subconscious. Like, we moved house last year and I found myself going, oh, to have a little house, to own the hearth and stool and all, the heaped up sod upon the fire, the pile of turf against the wall. And you go, oh, where did that come from? Or then, you know, something from the Leaving Cert will come up, like, you know, stony grey soil of Monaghan, or every old man I see reminds me of my father. And they're just ingrained in us.
That's because we learned by rote. Do you remember Sov Milish? Maybe that's before your time.
I'll be honest.
The Sov Milish Air Boscron on Thurs. It's basically about kids growing up and leaving. It makes me cry all the time. It's in Irish, but it's basically saying, you know, there's jam on the door handle, and I'm thinking of a day when the jam will be cleaned away and the little hand will be gone and grown up, and I'll be on my own with no jam on the door handle.
I actually, when you're talking about them being ingrained in us, we were at a wedding 2 weeks ago, of which I was part of the top table.
Ooh.
And I won't say how many glasses of wine we were in at this point, but at one point, genuinely, we were talking about the Leaving Cert poem curriculum for 10 minutes and about Derek Mahan, At the Heart of the Ridiculous, The Sublime, everyone else. Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. But it doesn't really come to us in the everyday. Maybe we should be bringing it into ourselves a bit more. Again, as you were saying, poetry probably never left for the people who've been in it, but...
And maybe the Irish are not actually great storytellers. We just had, it was ingrained into us. It's just by rote. We go, it's all in there somewhere. What was Soundings was the English poetry book, wasn't it? Not, was it the
was
Irish
it?
One?
I can't remember. I know was that they did a reissue of it, didn't they?
Yeah.
But
it's all coming back. And they reissued the old Home Ec book from school as well. Anyway.
What was the Shakespeare one? Like as the waves make toward the pebble shore.
Shakespeare had a few now.
Yeah, Sonnet 60 or something like that.
I think more than one.
Yeah.
Sonnet,
his first 59
74.
Sonnets didn't do much for me, but Sonnet 60 I liked.
Yeah. I prefer his earlier stuff personally. Donal, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that never paint a block wall with a roller.
Okay, why?
Because a block wall, so as I said, we moved house last year, so the back wall and the side wall of the garden are just plain block walls. And we thought, look, we'll jazz it up a little bit with a bit of paint. So we went around to the hardware and we got a tub of paint and a few rollers. And like 10 minutes in, the two of us were absolutely sweating. A block wall is like a giant sponge with a million little holes. So the learning was, we went and we rented the most fun thing ever, which was a sprayer, a paint sprayer. So you basically, you put your big tub of paint down, this machine goes into it, and then it's like spray paint in a car, you know, magic stuff. So managed to do the whole thing in a couple of hours. But if we had stuck with the rollers and the paintbrushes, I'd say we'd still be there.
Oh God, no.
Now, I will argue, I have some friends in the paint business, if you can believe that, and they will say that it depends on the roller. So is it a possibility that you maybe just had a bad roller?
Well, possibly, because we definitely didn't go bougie on the rollers. Whatever okay. was on special offer, because it's a garden wall. But it, yeah, it would have taken absolutely forever.
And but
it's
if
like
it was a
every
concrete
DIY
wall.
Disaster begins with the words, how hard could this be? That's exactly what we said 10 minutes in, re-questioning our life decisions.
Don't tell me this, because I've been talking for months about tiling our kitchen backsplash, like to the point where it is a point of comedy in our own house, because I have all the materials, haven't done it, haven't gotten anywhere close to doing it, but I'm convinced I can because of TikTok.
But didn't you paint your cupboards?
See, I did.
The
yeah.
orange ones.
But
yes!
I did use rollers, and I will say it took a long time, whereas you could pay a company, which was recommended to me, and I didn't because I'm a glutton for punishment in the end. You can get a company to come in, companies, and just pay to have the unit sprayed. So probably would have saved everyone a lot of heartbreak. Yeah. But I have the smugness of saying I did it myself now, I suppose.
Well, so. Do you know, there is a company now, I can't remember the name of them, but I saw them on social media, and what they're basically doing is they're doing a beginner's DIY course for people that have, you know, maybe moved house or bought a new house, and it teaches you basic tiling, carpentry, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's a pretty good idea.
Very
I'm
good
thinking
idea.
About signing up for it.
I am DIY queen. you want to see the quality drill I have.
Why we? And what about the person using the drill?
I've put up a 10-foot curtain pole by myself.
Wow.
Curtain poles are easy.
10 foot long.
Whoa, 10 shots fired.
Who holds one side for you? It's not putting it up, it's the length of it.
There were
various ladders and but no, it's what else have
well,
I done?
If you're
I can
doing
change
it on your own,
I can
it's
change
tricky.
A thermostat in the shower. I can change the. I would electrics are tricky. I would do the element in the oven. I've done that for lots of people. A dab hand with a ball cock too. I've done.
Whoa! Maya, take me for dinner first. Anyway, what are you looking forward to for the rest of the week?
Taking you to dinner. I'm not a huge sports fan, but the European Athletics Championships are on this week, and we are sending a really good team, and I find it really gripping. Mm. Also, any chance I get to mention my lovely dad? My dad was a great athlete in his youth, and his 4x400 relay team had the unbroken Irish record for 17 years.
Wow.
So whenever I'm at my dad's and athletics goes on. So we've a great team this year. Started today, I think Mark English won his heat today, 800 metres.
Amazing.
So to watch this week, watch out for Kate O'Connor, who basically is just a medal collector at this stage. She is doing the heptathlon on Friday, Saturday, I think. Rashida Adelecki has had a really tough time. I've actually learned all this stuff. It's so interesting with injury, but she is back this week as well. And the amazing Fionnuala McCormack, who I've met a couple of times, is just unstoppable. She's just a machine of a woman, mum of three, and she's running the marathon on Sunday. And I think she is probably one of the most capped Irish athletes of all time.
Yeah, it's
she's
incredible.
Amazing.
So and we've got to give a shout out to Charlene Maudsley, who got injured and won't be there this year.
I know, yeah. It's such a shame. But the great thing about athletics is you can dip in and out as well if you're not a huge sports fan. Mm. And most of the races are over in the blink of an eye as well. Yeah. Part of the marathon, obviously. But it's great, and we should get behind our athletes.
Absolutely,
so
of course.
What I'm looking forward to.
Of course. Donal, what are you looking forward to this week?
I am looking forward to revisiting my past. And the reason for this is we were thinking about just fun stuff to do when you jump in the car and you go to different places in Ireland. And I was thinking, I really want to go back to Barley Cove Beach in West Cork. Have you ever been?
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning. It was one of my favourite holidays. We went when I was 11. I went with my mum and dad. And it's just so beautiful. I did drive down there and spend a little bit of time there during the pandemic when we were all in lockdown. But I want to either go down camping or stay down there with the kids because it's beautiful. And I just want to see if it's as nice as I remember. And then I started to think when I was getting all nostalgic, I started to think about the first car I ever had. So what I want to do is, obviously I'm not going to be able to track down that car, but I would love to track down a 1987 Nissan Bluebird SLX, which is the first car I ever had. It had velour seats, a cassette player, electric windows and power steering.
Wow.
Which back in the day, that was pretty cool.
You
I'd love
man.
To just drive one for 5 minutes.
So
to
do you
see.
Want to buy it?
No, I just want to drive it. I just want to see what it feels like, you know, if you go out, this is amazing, or how do we actually suffer this at the time? So yeah, it's all about a bit of nostalgia and trying to figure out were those memories as
my current car is not far off that. And it's not nostalgia, it's just my reality, but thanks. I'll give you a spin for a fiver.
Look, there's nothing wrong with a bit of nostalgia, really, isn't it? Velour seats, wowee. Just make sure you don't ding it now based on our previous conversation about insurance.
That thing was a tank, yeah.
There you go. They just do not make them like that anymore. Donoghue, Maya Dunphy, thank you so much for joining me for 4 questions.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.